There'd be a big needle going into your brain, but I'm cool with that.
I don't care. My grandfather always said, if you can't learn something in 3 seconds, it's not worth learning.
Is there such a thing as a font color that will only show up if you hold the UV lamp up to your computer screen?
Oh, we should invent one if there isn't.
I hope you were looking the whole time.
I hope so, too.
Because if you were,
here it comes.
All idiots.
Stupid, stupid idiot.
Dislocating your groin is probably the most painful thing that you could ever do.
More painful than when I had to look into her beautiful fat eyes and tell her that this Manitoba milk bag just wasn't going to work.
H to the C, motherfucker!
Hello there, H to the C fans. This is John. It's been a little bit of a dry spell for H to the C. We haven't put anything out for a couple of months. Edna and Josiah are still split up. Ryan's in school. I've been taking the stand-up world by storm, so hasn't been a lot coming out. And I even have the nerve to cheat on you with another podcast. But I'm going to rub it in your little faces and repost it here. This is a guest appearance I did on the Fundy Free Thought Skeptical podcast. We talk about the Bible, and in particular about cherry pickers, so like people that pick and choose which parts of the Bible they choose to agree with. Anyway, I'm just going to let the thing speak for itself. There's a Fundy Free Thought Facebook group. Their website is fundyfreethought.org. If you want more, you can find it there. Most of their episodes, I don't think, talk as much about penises and foreskin, but that's what I bring to the table. These podcasts are recorded live every Friday night. 9 p.m. was when this one was recorded. I'm not sure if that's the same time every week. Probably. I could probably look into this, but I'm not going to. This one was recorded on February 7th, 2014, and here it is.
Life is like an ocean voyage, and our bodies are the ships. And without a moral compass, we would all be cast adrift. So to keep us on our bearings, the Lord gave us a gift. And like most gifts you get, it was a book. I only read one book, but it's a good book, don't you know? I act the way I act because the good book tells me so. If I want to know how to be good, it's to the good book that I go. Because the good book is a book, and it is good, and it's a book. I know the good book's good because the good book says it's good. I know the good book knows it's good because a really good book would. You wouldn't cook without a cookbook, and I think it's understood. You can't be good without a good book, cause it's good and it's a book, and it is good for cooking. I tried to read some other books, but I soon gave up on that. The paragraphs ain't numbered and they complicate the facts. I can't read Harry Potter cause they're worshipping false gods and that. And Dumbledore's a poofter and that's bad cause it's not good. Morality is written there in simple white and black. I feel sorry for you heathens, got to think about all that. Good is good and evil's bad and goats are good and pigs are crap. You'll find which one is which in the good book, cause it's a book and it's a book and it is good. Yeehaw! I had a cat, she gave birth to a litter. The kittens were adorable and they made my family laugh. But as they grew they started misbehaving. So I drowned the little fuckers in the bath. When the creatures in your care start being menaces, the answers can be found right there in Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 5 to 7. Swing your partner by the hand, have a baby if you can. But if the voices in your head say to sacrifice your kid to satiate your loving God's fetish for dead baby blood, it's simple faith the book demands. So raise that knife up in your hands. The good book made us good, there was no good way to know if the thing was good or not that good, a kind of touch and go. So God decided he'd give writing allegoric prose a go, and so he wrote a book, and it was generally well received. The Telegraph said this god is reminiscent of the Norse. The Times said kind of tortured, but I like the bit with horses. The Mail said lots of massacres, a violent to a divorce. If you only read one book this year, then this one is a book, and it is good, and it's a book. Yee-haw! Swing your daughter by the hand, but if she gets raped by a man and refuses then to marry him, stone her to death. If you just close your eyes and block your ears to the accumulated knowledge of the last 2,000 years, then morally, guess what? You're off the hook. And thank Christ you only have to read one book. Just because the book's contents were written generations hence by hairy desert-dwelling gents squatting in their dusty tents. Just because what heaven said was said before they'd leavened bread, just because Jesus couldn't read, doesn't mean that we should need manipulating human genes to alleviate pain or fight disease when deciding whether it's wrong or right to help the dying let go of life or to stop a pregnancy when it's just a tiny blastocyst. There's no reason why we should take a look at any other book. Good book, cause it's good, and it's a book, and it's a book, and it's quite good. Good is good, and evil's bad, and kids get killed when God gets mad.
No, keep it up.
Good look at the good book.
Down. Hello! Welcome to Sunday Free Thoughts podcast. This week on this, the very holy day of fries.
Yes.
By that I just mean it's Friday. I don't mean it in the same way as that guy from Saturday Night Live that had a movie or two and then became an asshole and ruined...
That one guy?
Yeah, that one guy that became an asshole. I was talking about the guy who ruined that Dr. Seuss thing, but then I realized that we could have meant Jim Carrey.
He wasn't on Saturday Night Live. He was on In Living Color.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And also I meant Ron Howard anyway, who ruined Dr. Seuss. It wasn't Jim Carrey's fault, although we did already see him green with big teeth in another thing.
I thought you meant Mike Myers when you were talking about the Dr.
Yeah, I was
Seuss.
Talking about Mike Myers.
Oh, okay.
Jim Carrey
was also the Grinch.
It was a Wayne's World reference. Anyway,
that's what this is about.
Yeah, it's about the Grinch and his stealing of Christmas. And I'm totally lying. Welcome to Fundy Free Thought podcast. I am Steve. I'm hosting in place of Rob as the main host this evening because Rob is not feeling well because we hurt him very badly. And I'm here with co-host John Forward, who is with us from H to the C. Please say hello.
Hi, my name is John, and I am filling in for Steve as co-host tonight.
He is, and I also, apart from that, I'm going to have to flog him for not listening to directions because I asked him to say hello, not hi.
I go by the beat of my own drum, Steve. I'm sorry.
Well, that's great because I don't want to go to work. I want to bang on the drum all day. Next. Please tell us, H to the C, what you are, and no, I will not accept human as an answer.
Well, it's pretty indescribable, but I guess I'll try. It's a podcast, and stuff happens on it.
Right.
It's a comedy podcast. There's all kinds of different kinds of segments and different things that we do.
And
so,
also comedy.
Yeah.
It's one of the things.
We try to get some chuckles out of the internet. That's the main idea.
Where can we find your podcast?
Wherever podcasts can be found, but there's a Facebook page. The website's htothec.podbean.com, or yeah, you can just search for it on iTunes or whatever you use to get your podcasts.
And H to the C is spelled
H-T-O-T-H-E-C.
All right, rockin'. Thank you for joining us, John. Tonight's topic is a double topic, sort of, I guess. Maybe, kind of. I don't know. We can choose if we want to.
Is there a limit on subcategories or
no, we
subtopics?
Can, we can subcategory subtopic the shit out of this.
We aren't limited at, like, four?
No. Okay. We're, like, diehard. We can keep doing them.
Okay.
So, tonight's topic, roughly thereof, that didn't make any sense, is
is the Bible the infallible word of God? And also, I want to talk about cherry picking. Not actually picking cherries, but cherry picking the Bible.
Yeah, we had a brief discussion about this last night, just how you can believe in most of a book that is supposed to have been written by God, but some stuff is dumb, and it's obviously outdated, but some stuff is what you base your life on.
Right.
I find that strange.
I find it strange as well, and that's exactly why we got into the topic last evening, and so let's get into it now.
Okay, well,
is the Bible the infallible word of God? If anybody is listening, you can respond to us or type at us or whatever thing on fundyfreethought.org, or you can type at us on our Facebook page, which is also fundyfreethought. Cool. Type at us, please. Cool. Dig it. Starting to like you.
Well, is there really much that we can say to answer that other than no?
Yeah, well, we could just say no, and then the credits will go up right now.
Okay.
In your ears, the credits will happen. So, yeah, should we just do that? We'll just roll the credits, and we're done. Rob can't talk because he's dying on the floor.
I think the cherry-picking thing has probably more that we can talk about.
Okay, well, let's talk about the infallible word of God first off.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, I'm a skeptic, and so let's start there. I'm not just your average everyday skeptic. I'm outspoken and whatnot, and I question things, and I can't help it. But I can't help but think that if the Bible was the infallible word of God, then there wouldn't be a New Testament.
Yeah.
Why is my nose bleeding? What's that about?
Digging for gold?
Probably.
It's probably because probably God has cursed you because we're being disrespectful.
Did I just blaspheme and my nose started bleeding? Is that what just happened?
I think that we should all become Christians right now.
I kind of wish I was joking about that. Thank you, Rob. Rob, who is dying on the floor, just handed me some napkins. I have no idea why this is happening. I apologize to my guest, John, for bleeding out of my nose in front of you while blaspheming.
So to play devil's advocate, why is the existence of a New Testament take away from the infallibility of it? Can't it just be like a sequel?
But is it a sequel, or did they change the information? And from what I've gathered and from reading and research and whatnot, it's a little bit of both. And the fact that some information is now changed, then that tells me that they made some mistakes.
Well, I don't know how much of it changes. We talked about this last night, and I did no research to back it up because I'm a good podcaster. Awesome. But I thought that there
is that a slight at me?
No. I'm saying that I'm not good because I didn't look up the thing that I was talking about that I didn't know if was true or not last night. I had said that I thought that there's a quote in the Bible where Jesus says the Old Testament is still true, but all this other stuff now too.
That's in the New Testament.
I think so. We have confirmation. So
yeah, so that's pretty.
So I think it just expands the mythology, I guess.
I wouldn't say just because there is some stuff changed.
What changed?
Well, I can't give you specifics, which is what's unprofessional of me.
All right, so we've got some research happening in the background here.
We've got a researcher on hand, which is awesome. Matthew 5:18
and 19.
Do you want to do this?
All right.
You go ahead.
For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So this is exactly what our topic is.
Okay, sweet. So do you want to...
Jesus is calling out the cherry pickers.
Yeah, well, I kind of like that, because if Jesus himself is not... the microphone is too loud. Can you turn that down for us, Rob? Thank you.
That was just because I was leaning in to read, probably.
Oh, okay. Is the microphone still too loud, or was it too loud during the Bible verse we just read? I guess we'll find out later. Either way, thank you for listening. Glad you're here. Please continue to type at us while we rant at you.
So I interpret that as basically saying, like, all of this stuff is my jam, and you better like it, and you better not tell anyone otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fair translation?
I don't know if it's fair, because we're not reading this in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's true.
This is an already multi-translated version of the Bible that we're reading, so can we really be accurate at all about anything?
I have an audiobook version of the Bible that's actually narrated by God himself.
Oh, see, that would be really cool.
But, yeah, I forgot to bring a clip, so we'll never know.
Okay, well, so we can't roll the clip.
But anyway, I think there was a big list on the Google search that just happened of Jesus backing up the Old Testament. We don't need to read... the quotes are there.
No, we don't have to read the entire thing. So we're not going to read the whole Bible tonight for you. You can do that on your own if you like. Free will.
It's
your free will to do that. So, again, about the cherry picking. Let's get back to that. Not that we really left it. Jesus was talking about you shouldn't cherry pick the Bible, and I agree. You shouldn't cherry pick any of it because, let's talk about morals, I guess. Because morality is one of the things that people claim the Bible has a monopoly on, and that you can't have morals without the Bible. And this is where the cherry-picking begins, I think. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, just to comment on the moral thing, there's been many times where somebody has asked me with a straight face, like, if you don't believe in God, then what? How could you possibly be a good person? As if the only thing holding them back from, like, murdering and doing bad stuff is that they're worried about getting in trouble with the big man upstairs.
Right.
I think that if you have your own morality and you're good for the sake of being good and not because you're afraid of some sort of punishment, that's probably more moral if we want to take a high horse.
Yeah, we can high horse this. I don't care. Does not caring make me immoral? I totally agree with you on that. I believe that I have decent morals as far as a human being is concerned, for the most part. I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm better than any other person or anything like that. I'm not going to say that I'm bigger than Jesus like the Beatles did.
You can have a sounder idea in your head than somebody. That doesn't make you a better person, but it's a thing that can happen.
Okay, I'll go with that. I like it. But the person, the point I'm trying to make, I guess, is the same as yours. The person who is only moral because they're either looking for a reward, everlasting life, or fear of punishment, going to hell, whatnot, burning for eternity. I mean, that sounds bad. But if that's your only thing holding you back from murdering and raping, then you're the person I'm afraid of, not the person who has morals outside of the Bible.
Okay, and to play devil's advocate again.
Please do.
What would you say is the fundamental difference between cherry-picking stuff that you like and stuff that you don't like in the Bible as compared to any thinker or person that says ideas? I don't 100% agree with any one person or book that I've read, and I cherry-pick stuff, but what's the difference, do you think?
Between the Bible and cherry-picking other shit I like?
Yes.
I don't think there's a huge difference at all, except that a lot of people are basing... you don't base decisions and whatnot off of a lot of books that you read, or do you?
I think my outlook on things is based on that stuff, but there is a difference. I have an answer to my own question.
Okay, good, cool. Go with that.
I think the difference is the fundamental premise that they believe that this book was written or inspired, at least, by capital G God. And I don't... anybody that I cherry pick around because I agree with most of what they have to say, but certain things I'm not so sure about, those are other human beings that I never claimed were infallible.
Okay, so you're cherry picking Bible or otherwise.
Because those people are fallible, and admittedly so most of the time.
Right. So would you say that you're cherry-picking because some of the stuff that they, some of their ideals that they convey, you don't think are morally correct for what is a worldview of yourself?
Yeah.
Or of your own?
Yeah, I can't really name any specific answers, but it's more, I don't know, there's lots of different stuff. Like, for example, like, I'm not, there was a time, like, when Ron Paul first came around that I thought that was cool, I guess, but...
Tell him I've never heard of him.
But he's like super pro-life and stuff like that, and is a fundamentalist Christian. His politics are slightly less objectionable than other people's politics sometimes, but there's a lot I don't like about him too. But I'm not saying that he created the universe or anything.
Right. So there's no extraordinary claims with that particular person.
Yeah. So if someone was to argue that, well, you cherry pick, like, look at this one mistake, you can find a mistake in this biology textbook from 1970. Who cares? That was written by a person, and we admit as much.
All right, we've got a person online here. Joanne is typing at us. I don't know about you. She said, did I miss one? Oh, Rob, you dick. All right. What if it is the infallible word of God, says Rob? What does that say about God?
That he's schizophrenic. And that he's a hateful man, woman, or thing. All right, well, yeah, let's look at some of these things that that God loves. Go to the website with the categories.
We'll get back to you, Joanne. Sorry.
All right. So, all right. Wait. Where's the? What were we looking at? Was it?
We're looking at the Bible.
Where was the stuff that we were looking at right before? Which was that? This one or absurdity?
It was intolerance.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry, we're just looking some stuff up because we do have a Bible here on
hand. Okay, so the second one that came up on, we have this handy website that you can click on, like there's different categories. We're looking at intolerance in the Bible, so number two.
The website we're on is, if anyone's curious, skepticsannotatedbible.com. skepticsannotatedbible.com.
So from Genesis 17:14, we get this little nugget. An uncircumcised boy is to be abandoned by his parents and community.
So that's something where, this is where cherry picking comes in exactly, because I think that I'm safe to say that most people disagree with that statement.
Oh, well, he goes on to explain why afterwards. It wasn't in the initial quote. He said, it's because he hath broken my covenant. So, like, his feelings are hurt. That you didn't cut a piece off your dick.
God's feelings are hurt that I didn't cut the dick off my child.
Yeah. And
I said that wrong, but it turned out funnier that way.
In Exodus...
because I didn't... Okay. God is mad at me if I don't cut the foreskin off of my child.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because you didn't do that, everybody else in the society should shun that child and abandon them.
And that child should be abandoned.
So, and well, like, abandoned by his parents, isn't it their job to get him circumcised? So, I'm going to be a, quote, bad father, not cut the skin off my dick, and then I'm going to be like, fuck you, kid, see you later, because I didn't get you circumcised.
Right. Okay, so, is that infallible? Is this... Okay.
That's an interesting take, God.
Let's cherry pick. I don't like that verse. I disagree with it, and so I've chosen to disagree with that part of the Bible.
Right, so...
Right, so I'm just like Christians. Is that fair to say? Can I say that fairly?
Yeah. And because there's a couple of universal good things that happen to also be mentioned... Our producer is pointing out some more. Number 12.
Yeah, God will kill the Egyptian children to show that he puts air quotes, a difference between the Egyptians and Israel.
Yeah, so lots of murder in the Bible.
Right.
And murdering various people for very slight things that aren't even actually slight. Right.
But this is not the only thing. There are a lot of things in the Bible that people cherry-pick, and this is where I don't understand why people say that you can't have morals without the Bible, but those same people disagree with a lot of the things in the Bible.
And God is a racist, because Exodus 19:5 says that God favors Israelites above all people.
Right. So, okay, so he doesn't love everybody, he mostly loves Israelites, and he loves you less.
Well, he might love the other people too, but just not as much.
Right. He loves you less.
God likes to cherry pick his races.
So God himself is cherry picking.
Yes.
Is what, and that's in the Bible. And I think that's great, because not only can we say that and be accurate, but you can look it up.
Yeah.
If you disagree with us.
And there's all kinds of, like, we could probably read crazy Bible quotes for,
yeah, we could do that all night.
Hours, but the point is that there's weird shit like that that's in the book, and some people are like, just turn a blind eye to that. Like, this book is the basis of my life, but some of it's kind of dumb and I don't pay attention to it.
Some of it. But that's where the cherry-picking comes in. And that's also why I brought up morality, and that's why I'm going to ramble on a little bit about it as well, because morality, I contest anybody, does not come from the Bible. And one of the reasons for this is because of what we were just talking about. There are, and if any Christians are listening, and I hope you are, I think that would be awesome. Feel free to respond to us at FundyFreeThought. On Facebook or .org, whichever, doesn't matter. Chat at us. I like talking. I don't think that morality comes from the Bible for various reasons, and one of them is the cherry picking that Christians and other believers do. And the cherry picking I'm speaking of are things like you agree with most of the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
but you don't believe that your disobedient teenager should be murdered for disobeying you. Or if a woman, if your daughter gets raped and then does not marry the guy who raped her, she should be stoned to death. Do you think that is morally correct?
That's not even morally gray. That's a straight up evil thing to say.
I think so as well. And I think most Christians would agree with me that that is a wrong thing to do. And it's a wrong way to think.
Yeah.
And the reason why I bring up morality again is because the same people who are claiming that the Bible is more moral than, say, an atheist's views of the world are saying that their own Bible is incorrect about that one thing. Or about several things. It's several, but I'm talking about the one just to make a point.
Do they think that God made a mistake at the time, or just that whoever wrote it down made a mistake, or that that used to be moral, but it's not moral anymore?
Yeah, or, and even if that, why is it all of a sudden that their morality, and yes, I want to say this to you, it's your morals telling you that the thing in the Bible that you disagree with is wrong. That is real morals instilled in you. You think it's wrong because it harms somebody or something. That's your own morals, not the Bible's morals telling you this, because you disagree with the morals in the Bible. And not all of them. Some of them are good. And I agree with that. Some of them are good. Like the Golden Rule, I'm into that one.
But morality, they is probably a product of evolution. It makes sense for us to not be complete bastards all the time, because it wouldn't be sustainable. If everybody was fighting and stealing and killing each other all the time, nothing would ever get done.
I agree. I also think that there were morals before the Bible.
Yeah.
And I want to bring that up as well. I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast, probably. It's a thing that jumps around in my head a lot when especially when people say that morals come from the Bible. There was a civilization long before the Bible was written, and how does a civilization at all happen without morals? Well, can it happen?
If cartoons have taught me anything, there was lots of men clubbing and raping cave women back before there was a religion, probably.
Right, that's how Fred got Wilma, right?
Yeah. So that's been well documented in all the history books.
Pretty sure.
So it could be argued that those people didn't have any religion to stop them from doing that. But if everybody was clubbing everybody in the head, then everybody would have brain damage and they wouldn't be able to invent the wheel and stuff. Or like record players that operate with a pterodactyl beak.
I have to agree with you on that one as well. Yeah, I don't see how a society at all, society, civilization, all of that can happen whatsoever without morals.
Yeah, and there might be at a time when people didn't have the same access to information that we have, that you kind of needed a codified list of rules, but like, we don't need a Bible to tell us what's right and wrong anymore.
Right, I agree with that. So
we could probably find a big list of cool good stuff that's in the Bible too.
Auntie, I wanted to comment on your post. Joanne, I'm so not skipping over you on purpose, but Auntie just made me giggle. Auntie wrote, "I really think we should masturbate more when God is watching me whack off. He might have to take a break from his hobby of killing African babies."
And that's another example of a terrible hobby that this God person has.
Right, apparently is watching us do awful things and not stopping us. Or
I was just more talking about the killing African babies.
I think I pictured Auntie masturbating. okay, so let's go back to Joanne. I'm sorry we skipped over you. She says, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that most Christians cherry pick. I am also glad about that. We were sort of already talking about that. If they don't, life would not be too pleasant. I have to agree with you. I think that the cherry picking of Christians with their Bible stuff that they agree with or don't agree with because they think it's morally wrong is an awesome thing. And I don't understand why it doesn't make them question the other stuff.
Yeah, it's good for humanity, but I would argue that if they're doing the cherry picking, then they're just not very good Christians. They just don't believe in a little bit less of the Bible than we do.
Right. And I have to agree with you on that. They're not good Christians if they're not following the Bible, right?
It would be insane if somebody thought that every single word in the Bible was true and still applies, but the level of discomfort that person would have to go through, like, if you actually had to act on every one of those things that it says in the Bible, you would be an insane person, like, and you couldn't function as a human being, probably. Your life would just be chaos, and...
Yeah, I agree.
Justifying every weird thing that you do, and everybody would hate you.
Yeah, so let's cherry pick some more. Apparently round haircuts was a thing you should not have. According to the Bible, you shall not round off the side growth of your heads.
Oh, nor harm the edges of your beard. I've harmed the edges of my beard.
I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I saw a lot of both of those things. You shall not eat of their flesh nor touch their carcasses. What was that? He's speaking of pigs. We shouldn't do that, but a lot of Christians do eat pigs. They eat of their flesh.
Well,
and touch their carcasses. Some of the pigs are pets as well. Christians can have a pig as a pet. Is that?
Well, no. I was going to say they can, and they can cuddle their pigs all they like.
Yeah, but according to the Bible, they shouldn't.
Right.
And they certainly shouldn't eat them. But people have ham on Christmas, don't they? And Thanksgiving,
Easter ham, I think, is a thing.
It's Easter ham.
Some people have ham at any holiday.
Yeah,
I don't
really
know.
Really? Easter ham.
But the third one I agree with about not going to fortune tellers. That's good advice, Bible. Do not turn to mediums or spiritualists. Okay, or spiritists. Totally. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. Good. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I actually agree with that one.
Thanks for looking out, God.
But I know some Christians who do go to fortune tellers and believe them.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Astrology is another one, or healing crystals, and there's a lot of things.
Yeah, there's probably lots of devout Christians that read their horoscopes in the newspaper every day.
We should probably put some healing crystals on Rob so that he turns out okay by the end of the night. That was the sound of Rob not aligning his chi properly.
No pulling out the well-documented, they don't light one our seed on the ground. Everybody's heard that one. The tattoos, you're not supposed to do.
Yeah, you're not supposed to get tattoos. I remember, but a lot of Christians have tattoos.
I remember watching Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher back in the day, and the singer from POD was on his panel, and he called him out for having tattoos and stuff because the Bible says that you're not supposed to. But
oh, that's great.
He had like gigantic like Jesus and crosses all over his body and stuff, and Bill Maher called him out on that.
Auntie is praying for Rob. Thank you for that. what else is there? Divorce, that's unacceptable as far as God is concerned, or the Bible. Mm-hmm. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. I think women are considered man in this context. If the woman decides to divorce?
I think it just assumes that the man would be in charge of this happening, because he's in charge of everything.
Well, yeah, it's very man.
I don't think Bible God would have even conceived that a woman would be like, I don't want to be married anymore, and not be murdered instantly.
Yeah, well, according to the Bible, this is another thing that a lot of Christians cherry pick, is according to the Bible, man's decree is law. And a lot of Christian men and women disagree with that. But it's in the book. It's in the fucking book.
And listeners out there, a good tip for you. If you ever want to get out of ever having to go to a church again, all you need to do is castrate yourself. Because God doesn't think that we should let people without testicles into a church. It says, a man whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off may never join the assembly of the Lord.
Isn't this an awesome book?
Yeah, why? How come the testicles are so precious but not the foreskin?
I don't know. We like balls, but we don't like extra skin, I guess.
God has a lot of weird penis stuff.
Should we also cut off those our elbow flappy spots and earlobes as well? Or if we decorate them, then it's cool. We keep them. Like, if we pierce our foreskin, is it cooler to keep it then?
What if we tattoo the head of a penis onto our foreskin, so it looks like it's circumcised, but it's not?
Well, tattoos are wrong, so I don't know if that would be acceptable.
Maybe the two things cancel each other out.
I think it would be funnier to. To tattoo.
I wonder if that exists. I'll have to do a Google search of that later. Somebody must have it.
Yeah, what else we got? The auntie is asking us a question again. We're on your interwebs. Is the foreskin the only thing God accepts as a mistake? Well, that's a good question in the first place, because
why did he put it there?
Why did God invent mistakes? Why does God make mistakes? I thought he was infallible. How did he fuck up our bodies so bad that he forgot to not give us foreskin?
I don't know if God considers it a mistake. I think that's just probably part of the God-like sadism thing, where he likes us to hurt ourselves, kind of, like in the flagellation and stuff like that.
Oh, he just likes watching us hurt ourselves.
Christians like to hurt their bodies, sometimes. Like, old-school hardcore ones, and like, Da Vinci's Code.
So to God, we're like an episode of Ridiculousness or America's Funniest Home Videos.
I think...
Or fail blog.
I think God might be masturbating every time that we cause ourselves physical pain, because he's a sadist.
Huh.
Well, would God need to masturbate, or could he could probably just be like, have an orgasm, dick?
I don't know.
It's
well,
a lot of effort.
Apparently we're made in his image, right? So, and, you know, I get the urge once in a while, and maybe God gets the urge. Go to the phone and call! It's private, confidential, one-on-one, and discreet.
God probably gives pretty good orgasms, to himself especially.
I would assume so.
He's infallible.
He never fails to give himself a good orgasm.
So, God hates the Maritimes, too. Shellfish is bad news.
Yeah, yeah, and we're through with his shellfish demands. Yeah, that just happened.
Awesome.
sorry, expand on the shellfish thing.
That does not have fins and scales among all the teeming life of the water, and among all the living creatures that are in the water. They are detestable things to you. Like, okay, is that a moral thing? Is that not just basically him saying, ew, gross?
Yeah, I think it sounds like ew, gross to me.
That's the new modern... We should do a new modern translation. That verse will just be...
Shellfish, ew, gross.
Yeah.
That'll be...
That's good to get the kids with their short attention spans and stuff. That'll be in the ADD Bible.
Yeah, and if you want to indoctrinate the kids anyway, it'll be way quicker and easier to do that instead of them trying to figure out what the hell thou shalteth not whatever.
Okay, so the last one... So your wife defending your life in a fight by grabbing your attacker's genitals. Before we look any further, do we think that God is for that or against that?
Oh, I can't tell. That's a good question, and I'm tempted to read further. Your wife defending your life in a fight by grabbing your attacker's genitals.
That's the bold part. I really don't know if he's going to be for or against that.
For or
the
against. Wording,
it could go either
should
way.
We should make a bet or something against this one.
All right.
I'm going to say he's for it. With the exception that God didn't really like when women did things at all in the Bible.
I think my bet is that he's for it, but the woman still needs to be murdered immediately after.
Okay. So I'm going to say he's also for it, but only if the woman then marries her attacker.
Okay. All right.
Otherwise, she's stoned to death.
No joke, Deuteronomy actually devotes two verses to this exact scenario. So Deuteronomy 25, 11, and 12. If two men, a man and his countryman, are struggling together, and the wife of one comes near to deliver her husband from the hand of the one who is striking him, and puts out her hand and seizes his genitals, then you should cut off her hand. You shall not show pity.
Ooh, we were close. Okay, so...
I was half right.
So if you're...
There is violence against women involved.
If you're in a fight, and your attacker is also a man, and you're a man, and then your wife tries to defend you, she should not grab your attacker's genitals.
Yeah, that's a good rule that everybody needs to know.
Yeah, because, like, I appreciate that you were trying to defend me, but you touched his dick.
Men have been trying to explain to women that is off limits for decades, and I've never heard the Bible invoked to prove it. But
is that cheating in that context?
Well, that's probably why you have to cut off her hand, because it's tainted.
It doesn't sound like she grabbed his genitals for pleasure. It sounds like she was trying to help her husband.
All right, so...
Although it was a strange thing to be that specific about, mind you.
Should we?
I don't know why that's her first move of attack. Is also it didn't say caressing. She didn't gently rub his genitals. She was.
I assume that the scenario.
I'm assuming it was like a grabbing and twisting thing.
The way I'm trying to trick it is that there's two men having fisticuffs and cuffs, not cups, fisticuffs. having fisticuffs.
Two fists, one cup.
And the lady is screaming and probably flailing her hands like in an old-time Western.
Right. Not jazz and, hands, but...
Somehow
like a help me Popeye kind of motion.
Somehow gets close enough to this fight to just reach in and grab some ballsack.
Yeah.
Probably in a not nice way.
So you don't feel that the woman in this case has a fetish or is attracted to the attacker?
No, I think that she has good intentions, but she still needs her hand chopped off for having the gall to grab those balls.
I like how you made that rhyme. That was really fun for me.
Yeah, I used to be a rapper.
So, yeah, me too. Okay, where else are we here? We're on Mark.
So this is New Testament.
Right.
This isn't the first book of the New Testament. It's number two.
It's King James.
King James is the translation.
Version.
Yeah.
Which makes it newer.
And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply he might find anything there... How do you pronounce that word? Is it thereon? I've only ever read it. I've never said it out loud before. All right, so thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it.
So basically Jesus just cursed a fig tree for not having figs.
That specific tree or fig trees in general?
Fig trees in,
is it kind of like an Eve fucked up so we hate women forever kind of scenario for fig trees?
Yes, but for fig trees.
Okay.
So let that be known to you, especially Westboro Baptists. I think there's a meme about this, but...
Westboro,
sorry. Yes. Did I say Morrow?
Yeah.
I meant Borough, Westboro Baptist.
We have to get our plugs right.
God hates figs, not fags.
That's true.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, and also it actually states in the Bible, that very verse that you just read, it says either before it or after it, I don't remember which, but I've read the whole thing. It actually says that it's not the season for figs. In the Bible. So Jesus curses the tree for not having figs during a non-fig season for figs. I just wanted to say figs three times in one sentence.
Why didn't Jesus just use his magical powers to make some figs grow? He can bring somebody back from the dead.
Yeah,
he can't make a plant bloom or whatever you call it when figs grow.
He can also cure the blind apparently, but he can't make figs grow.
He doesn't do as well with plants. That's why man has dominion on the earth.
Yeah.
Because he just can't get his head wrapped around how those plants work.
So he's good with people but not a botanist.
Right. Yeah. But maybe there'll be like a third, like a new Testament, and like Jesus has taken some like gardening classes and stuff.
Oh, that would be really cool.
And then people can start ignoring that.
I don't know if we want to get on that.
That's probably more than 15 minutes worth.
Yeah, we got about 15 minutes left here. People, thank you for tuning in, those of you who have... let's keep cherry picking. This is fun for me. I think the Bible is interesting in ways and very not interesting in other ways.
Before we promote the thing.
Yeah, before we go on further, Rob is just on his deathbed reminded me that we've got an event coming up this weekend on Sunday. Our Skeptics in the Pub night is happening. It's at Big Tide Brewing Company, which is on Princess Street. What's the actual address? 47 Princess Street. It's on Sunday this weekend at 5. There will be a presentation by Frank Loomer is joining us as a guest presenter this weekend. He's going to talk about certainty. There's a book on it that he's going to use as a reference, and it should be interesting. I'm looking forward to the presentation. So hopefully some of you can come out to that. If you can, please go to the Facebook group or look for the event Skeptics in the Pub. Join us, let us know if you're coming or not, then we know how many chairs to book for.
Would it be fair to assume that that event is going to be an orgy of immorality, since very few of those people there are Christians?
The people who join us or the people who work at the place?
Well, at that event, there probably won't be a lot of people that get their morality from the Bible, so therefore they have none.
I like our sound effects board this evening. This is the first time we've used it.
All right, so yeah, anyway, come party with some immoral perverts. Because we don't have a book to tell us what to do.
Right, we're lacking of a Bible, so therefore you may get raped and killed. Sorry. So wait, not sorry, because no morals.
Yeah.
That's a common misconception about atheists and other non-believers or skeptics, is that...
We don't believe in apologizing.
Is that we don't have morals and nothing is stopping us from raping and killing. Which, yeah, so. I think that's ridiculous. I'm going to quote Penn Jillette on this one. I rape and kill as much as I want. That number happens to be zero.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I like him. So let's cherry pick. Let's do some more cherry picking. Jesus says that most people will go to hell.
Well, that's true if you assume that you need to. Yeah, that's
a Matthew, given. That's a Matthew given. 7, 13, and 14. It's a given? Most people will go to hell.
Well, yeah, but the only way to not go to hell is to believe this one specific religion, and all of the people that have ever existed, they've only got so much coverage.
But correct me if I'm wrong, are Christians not a majority?
Maybe now, but if you look at the sum of humanity forever, no.
The sum of humanity ever? Well, yeah, there were a lot of people, obviously, before the Bible happened.
So. Yeah, so there's a lot of people burning in hell forever that just never had a chance to find the true light of Jesus.
Yeah, what else is fun? We already did disobedient teenagers who will be murdered. If your daughter gets raped, we did that one. Aren't wives supposed to be stoned to death for
various reasons? Oh, for lots of different things, yeah. I used to work at a Bible camp, and we used to do like a Bible lesson in the morning and at night. And I used to do like the director's cut versions of certain Bible stories, where there's like some well-known Bible stories that the well-known part of it just cuts off at one point, and then there's some crazy shit afterwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. In Luke 3:17, John the Baptist says that Christ will burn the damned with fire unquenchable. That's pretty cool.
That's kind of mean.
It's a little mean. It's not very nice. This one's in Luke 3, verse 9. Those who fail to bear good fruit will be hewn down and cast into the fire. That, to me, sounds like if my child is born and isn't perfect, that me and the girl I made the child with are going to die and burn in hell.
So yeah, so if your child has any kind of a disability,
right,
into the fire, if
I have a child who's born disabled, me and the girl who made the child with me both get cast into
fire. I assume that also if you don't make a child at all, that doesn't count as bearing good fruit and you'll still burn.
Well, it's not bearing fruit trouble. At all.
I don't have any
thing?
Kids.
That's probably a thing.
I'm not bearing any good fruit.
Yeah, you're probably. I'll keep it warm for you, I guess.
But we were talking about this last night. There's all kinds of this weird, wacky shit in there. And you would think, and this is a guy I listened to, Stefan Molyneux, said, this isn't a completely original idea, but I'm going to steal it, that if God is powerful enough to create everything in the universe, you would think if there was like his book that was about him existed and it has all this fucked up shit in it that he doesn't agree with anymore, then he could just snap his magic fingers and fix the Bible and only have the stuff that you're supposed to believe in it.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good point right there. If God's word is infallible, why can't he himself just be a little more fucking clear?
Like, if there was, like...
About what his own rules say.
Steve, an unauthorized biography floating around out there that said that you want to cut off a woman's hand for grabbing some guy's nuts while you're in a fight, then you might go to the publisher and, like, cease and desist and, like, hey, that's not true.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, I wasn't all that jelly.
But God must be lazy. There's people that have misrepresented him and say all this hateful stuff in his name, and he's just like, yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I agree.
if God is himself moral and cares about his word being spread properly, why couldn't he have perfected that himself?
Yeah, if there is a God, he probably doesn't want us doing all this bad stuff.
Yeah, and maybe he wouldn't change his word later also. So, speaking of which, we're in the New Testament here. There's a couple of fun ones before we finish off. Homosexuals were in Romans 1:31-32, in case you're looking us up or fact-checking. Homosexuals, those, air quotes, without natural affection, air quote, and their supporters, those that, it's more air quotes, there's air quotes all over this fucking thing. Homosexuals, those without natural affection, and their supporters, those that have pleasure in them, are worthy of death, along with gossips, boasters, and disobedient children.
I'm with them on the boasters.
Yeah, it's wrong to gloat. Evildoers must be punished.
We should probably kill the boasters, for sure. Boasters are a plague on our society, and they need to be removed.
Okay, this one I just don't understand. Romans 11:30 says, Gentiles used to be unbelievers, but now the Jews are the unbelievers, and God saves Gentiles through Jewish unbelief. It's all a part of God's plan. It says that. I didn't add that part at the end. That was actually in there.
What is the definition of the word Gentiles in this context? I've heard it, but...
Well,
a Christian?
Yeah, okay. We'll assume Christian.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought as well.
I wanted to make sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, strange. Strange. Well, that one's a lot of belief, unbelief, all in one, all-encompassing... strange sense.
I used to like the Jewish people, but now I've got my new book and I don't like people that like my old stuff. It'd be like saying that I need to be murdered because my GPS map hasn't been updated in 27 months.
Right.
I don't have the new version. I didn't want to spend the $70.
You got the old Snoop D-O-double-G.
Yeah. So,
turn right.
Are we winding down? There's 6 minutes
left.
Yeah,
we're totally winding down. We're winding down, and by that I mean opening another ginger ale.
Well, the track is 2.5 minutes, so we've got... I don't know how to do the math. But.
Yeah, I don't do maths. Is there anything
we'll
else online?
We'll stop talking at 57 and 30 seconds, roughly.
Joanne added again. There's no wearing of clothing that... have mixed fibers. That's a very good one that people definitely cherry pick.
Yeah. It's in Leviticus.
Leviticus.
Yeah. I decided to speak.
This is Rob.
I feel like hell. Hello, Fundy Free Thought followers.
He feels like hello.
I feel like hell.
Oh, and you
hell was real.
You
but
mentioned,
it's not.
You mentioned earlier when we were reading the stuff, and he said, in case you're fact-checking, could you really call referencing Bible verses fact-checking?
No.
Let's remove that possibility.
I think I would.
We're going to go back in time.
You're quoting a book that does exist.
Yeah, I suppose. It would be fact-checking if you're checking somebody else's
book. I meant fact-checking as checking if the quote that I read was correct.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
But I'm still glad you brought it up because it's funny. And I like funny things. Like the Bible. It's hilarious.
And we like to make you think a little, too.
I like
I just want to make a point. I love how God doesn't like the Jews. He calls them non-believers. Even though Jesus was told to uphold the laws of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Way to make up your mind, God.
Yeah, another, like, the Bible itself is cherry-picking, isn't it, all the time?
Oh, it's very contradictory.
Well, I don't really know any Jewish people, so I don't know much about their deal, but are they less likely to cherry-pick, or are Jewish people more likely to take every word that's in there as compared to Christians? Is that a
no thing? I think their thing is more likely to cherry pick
because they're more
that's
likely to,
a really good question.
to do like the weird, like not allowed to eat pork kind of stuff, and like especially like the Hasidic ones that wear like the outfits and stuff.
Oh,
that's,
yeah,
that's very specific. Like the cherry picking people don't don't do the hard stuff, like the stuff that actually requires like you to plan.
That's a good question. So if anybody is listening, if we have anybody who are scholars or are Jewish or practicing, know the answer to that, please let us know on fundyfreethought.org or on our Facebook group. It's an interesting topic. I think it would be cool to bring up.
Mel Brooks is listening, let us know.
If Mel Brooks is listening, oy vey. Alright, thank you all for listening. We're going to wind it down here. We're going to leave you with a Bill Hicks track. And thanks again for listening. Hopefully we'll see you at the Big Tide this Sunday for Skeptics in the Pub at 5 p.m. Cheers.
Christianity, fascinating. These people actually believe the world is 12,000 years old. Swear to God. Based on what? I asked them. Well, we looked at all the people in the Bible and we added them up all the way back to Adam and Eve. Their ages, 12,000 years. Well, how fucking scientific. Okay. I didn't know that you'd gone to so much trouble there. That's good. You believe the world's 12,000 years old?
That's right.
Okay, I got one word to ask you. One word question. Ready?
Uh-huh.
Dinosaur. You know, the world's 12,000 years old, and dinosaurs existed, and they existed in that time. You think it would have been mentioned in the fucking Bible at some point. And oh, Jesus and the disciples walked to Nazareth, but the trail was blocked by a giant brontosaurus with a splinter in his paw. And oh, the disciples did run a-shrieking, "What a big fucking lizard, Lord!" But Jesus was unafraid, and he took the splinter from the brontosaurus' paw, and the big lizard became his friend. And Jesus sent him to Scotland, where he lived in a lock for oh, so many years, inviting thousands of American tourists to bring their fat fucking families and their fat dollar bills. And oh, Scotland did praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But get this. I actually asked one of these guys, okay, dinosaur fossils, how does that fit into your scheme of life? Let me sit down and strap in. He says, dinosaur fossils? God put those here to test our faith. Thank God I'm strapped in right now here, man. I think God put you here to test my faith, dude. You believe that? Uh-huh.